Today's topic is dealing with at what point does a fruit become developed enough in order to require ha'etz. So he said when coming to saying ha'etz on fruit, there are a number of questions that have to be addressed. Firstly, which we haven't talked about yet, this will be in a few weeks from now, you have to have a tree, as they grow in a tree as opposed to the ground. So if it grows in a tree, that's point one. Now once you establish it's a tree, then you have to deal with, is this the main part, is this the main fruit of the tree? Once you've established this is the main part of the fruit, that's the das, why they planted it, then you have to look at the actual fruit now, has it developed enough in order to warrant a bracha? And then once you have pointed that out, you also have to deal with the issue of, is it edible? Size and edibility are all very, very important. Today we're going to discuss at what size do you know that the fruit has developed enough in order to warrant a bracha of borei pri ha'etz. So the Gemara tells us here in Lamed Vav Amud Beis, it quotes a brisa, and the brisa has nothing to do with brachas at all, it has to do with shemitah halachas. And the Gemara says as follows. It's quoting a mission in Shvius, in the fourth parak of Shvius, it says, Me'em asai ein kotisin esai lanos b'shvius. There's a halacha last year with shemitah in Eretz Yisrael, and the halacha is you're not allowed to do any work, you can't do any malacha, any avoda to the karka. So let's say I take, there's a branch, there's a dried branch, I could break that off. That's not considered avoda, that's not considered working the land. So too, there has to be a certain stage that the fruit gets to a size that that's considered working the fruit, working the land. But if it's underdeveloped, where it's considered nothing, that won't be a violation. So the Mishnah wants to know, at what point does it get to a fruit where it's usher to start cutting them down? So the Mishnah continues to say, Beishamei omrim kol ha'ilanos mishiotsu. When it comes to all fruits, the moment the fruits begin to grow, already then there is an isser to cut down the fruits, the fruit trees. Ubeisil omrim hacharuvim mishiarshishu. When the carobs begin to grow some type of chain design on the back, that's the moment when you can't cut down the carob trees. And hagafanim, when it comes to grapes, mishiyigru. We have to see what yigru means, a certain size for the grapes. And when it comes to the zeis, when it comes to olives, mishiyanitsu. When it has grows some nates, some other growth around the olive, that's when it's usher to chop down the olives. Ushar kol ha'ilanos mishiyotsu. But he agrees to Beishame when it comes to any other fruit, the moment it begins to grow, it's ready usher. So again, Beishame says, all fruits are the same, mishiyotsu, when it begins to grow. Beishil says, I agree by all fruits, but there are three that are exceptions. Carobs, grapes, and olives have its own unique shear. So as an aside here,
all the others is when it just begins to grow and you see a bud?
Exactly. Exactly. So Rashi explains what's the reason why it's usher to cut down fruits during Shemitah year. So he says, because the Torah says, la'achlo, you have to eat the peros. You have to eat the peros of Shvi'is. If it lo lehefse, the megadrasha, you cannot destroy them. So the halacha is, someone actually asked me the other day, they bought fruit from, grapefruit from Costco, and turned out when they came home, it was from Eretz Yisrael. They did not have a shkach on it. And grapefruits that are bought now grew during the Shemitah year of last year. So they're subject to the halachas of Shemitah. So what does that mean? It means a lot of things. One thing is, you're not allowed to take that fruit and put it in the garbage, because that's being considered mafsid, you're destroying it. You have to eat it in entirety until there's nothing edible left. But you can't, let's say I eat half the grapefruit, the other half I can't throw in the garbage with the other garbage, because that's going to cause it to go bad quicker. I need to put it in a separate bag where it rots on its own at its own pace. So you can't be mafsid peros of Shemitah. So too, you can't cut down fruit trees during Shemitah because you're destroying the fruits. That's what Rashi explains the basis for this Isser. Now, as another aside, it's just good to have
destroying
background.
Destroying future fruits.
Well, the fruit right now, I guess you're making it, you're not allowing it to grow to a further further size, maybe. And I think the point is that once it's already a fruit, if you're cutting it down, it's not going to grow to a point where it's edible enough.
Cutting down the tree.
Right now it's talking about cutting down the trees. The cutting down the trees that have fruit on the beginning to grow, so if I'm not allowing it to grow further, I'm being mafsid those fruit. Because right now the fruit are not so edible. They're small. They're fruit though, but they're not so edible. So if I don't let it grow further, it won't ever become edible. So right now, by me cutting down the trees, I'm destroying those current fruits. So Tosa asks another question. Tosa says, wait a second. I have another problem here. Forget Shemitah. In general, there's an isser to cut down fruit trees. Can't that cut down, it's a forced pasuk in the Torah. You can't cut down fruit trees. So he says, we're talking about a situation where maybe the trees are, the wood is more valuable than the fruits. And then there's a hetter to cut down the tree. So let's say, for example, apple trees had the wood, which I don't think it is the case, but let's say the wood would be very valuable wood. So then I could cut down the fruit tree, the apple tree, in order to use the wood. That could be an example where Baal Tashchis would be permitted.
When I read this, I was wondering if we held by this. Is there such a concept as a heter to cut down a fruit tree?
Yes, as I just said, that's one heter. One heter.
We hold by such a thing?
Yes, we do. It's a discussion they bring down in the postkim about this. Let's say a person wants to build the sukkah and the tree is in the way. Are you allowed to cut down a fruit tree for the purpose of a mitzvah? So they talk about different these different examples. Okay, either way, so that's what it talks about. Hilchos Shemitah, nothing to do with Hilchos Brachos at all. So it comes along Tosas now on the very top. Tosas says, let's read a little bit more of the Gemara. I'm sorry. The Gemara says, so what does it mean exactly when it comes to the size of the fruit, that the size of the grape, let's focus on a grape for a moment, that the grape has to be Mishi Yigru, and there's some Yigru, unclear what Yigru means. So the Gemara says that Rav Asi explains that means Boser, Hu Garua, Hu Pul Halavan. The word Boser refers to a very young, if you will, immature grape. That's the same, that's what it means Garua, and that's what it means Pul Halavan, a white bean. So the Gemara says, in other words, when the grape reaches the size of a white bean, whatever size it is, that means it's developed enough, and you can no longer cut down the fruit tree, the vine, the grapevines anymore. That's what the Gemara says. So let's focus on grapes for a moment. Okay, grapes, the size is a white bean of a grape that's the size of a white bean, it's considered usur to cut down the tree. So says Tosas, now Tosas makes a big jump now. Again, I know we're talking about Maseches Brachos, but the actual Mishnah is talking about Shemitah Halachas. So Tosas writes, but if it's less than this shear, if it's less than a white bean, it's not considered a fruit. And from here we can learn all halachas of brachas, that you only say ha'etz when it reaches the size of a white bean. If it's less than the size of a white bean, it would only be a dhamma at best. So that's the jump Tosas makes, just like the halachas of Shemitah. The white bean is the size for grape, so too Hilchos Brachos. That's the jump he makes. Now it's not crazy. It's not a crazy thing to say. But still, it is a jump, which is not clear in the text anywhere. And we do know that Maseches Brachos is found in Seder Zeraim. So Brachos is very much related to all the halachas of other agricultural halachas, such as Shemitah. So it's not a crazy jump, but it is a jump. So on that, the Rush comments, the Rush writes in Simen Hei, let's say you don't know. You don't know what a white bean is. What is a white bean? There are many types of white beans, I'm sure, out there on the market. Which white bean am I comparing to? I don't know what a pul halavan is. So it says that Rush, if I don't know, if I'm a supak, what the size is, then what's the best route I should take? What's the safest approach? If you don't know? Adama. You say an adama. Because if it might be small, I have a very small grip. I just don't know if it's developed or not. So the safest route is hadama, because we know in general hadama always works for ha'etz. If anything, any fruit, if I say hadama b'di'evet, that works. So this case, since I don't know the halachas, I don't know the sizes, I'm not a farmer, so hadama works. This case would be considered b'di'evet. So since I don't know and there's no way for me to find out, that's b'di'evet. So I can rely on saying an hadama if I don't know any better. That's what the Rush writes. But the Rush is still working within the world of Tosfos. That shear, that size of a white bean, is the size that you're supposed to use, right? Because he thinks that the halachas of Shemitah carry over to the halachas of brachos.
It still troubles me that when you're sitting there without a doubt in the bracha, whether you're really allowed to, it's not so b'di'evit in a way, if you're really allowed to rely on that fact that Adama covers it, or you really have to go the extra mile to do something else to find an eitz and find an Adama. Because you're in a situation where it's tough. Right. So do you just say, listen, I could always say Adama.
No, so I think it's making a very, very good point.
No, wait a minute. You better do the right thing. You should go look for an AIDS that you know and an Adama that you know.
So you're making a very good point. You are. But still, the halacha is that you are allowed to. In this case, if you don't know the answer... The Mishabura writes
There's
this.
No doubt
here.
About
let's
that.
Say,
you
no,
don't know
wait,
this.
Let's say the Mishabura says.
What kind of
Wait. Mishabura says. Let's say I don't do my due diligence. I don't know. I don't know much. I never learned Hilchos Brachos.
Exactly.
And I see some weird food. I don't know how to read the ingredients. So I just say shakal and everything.
Exactly.
Says the Mishabura, you cannot do that. It's right. Only a situation where you've done your research, you've asked the Rabbanim, and they just don't know what the halacha is. They don't know the mitzias. They don't know what a white bean is. So in that case, so they say that's considered b'di'evit, and you're allowed to say adama in this situation. Now, yes, there might be what's called midas chasidus, a higher level, lifnim mishus adin, going above and beyond, that maybe I'll refrain from eating it since it's a suffix. I'll refrain from eating it, but that's a chumra I'm taking upon myself. Then I'll wait to find an apple, I'll find a tomato, say I ate on the apple, a dum on the tomato, and then I'll cover my bases. But that's a much higher level.
Okay.
So we don't encourage everyone to always do chumras. Some people like to keep Shabbos late to Rabbeinu Tam.
Okay, so
that's a personal thing.
That's
a chumra. It's a worthwhile thing. It's a midas chasidus, but we don't force everyone to follow midas chasidus.
Okay.
So that's what the Rashi is. Again, the Rashi is about don't know, which we don't know really what a pool halavan is, what a white bean is. One is able to rely on the hadama and say that that's the safest bet. Okay. So the Bach now writes that we saw the Bach on Or Chaim Simon Reish Beis. So he paskins near the ha'ina. He thinks nowadays, in light of this, the Bach has comments on the tour. It says, nowadays, ein levarich al ha'navim, one should not say bracha on grapes, bori pri ha'etz, ela bori pri ha'adama, because we are not bekin, we're not experts in the size of a pul halavan, and we're not the experts in the size of grapes. So he seems to paskin categorically that one should not say ha'etz ever on grapes. Never should he say, because we don't know. We just don't know the halacha. And that's what the Bach concludes. That means anytime you have a grape, you should say adama according to the Bach because of this suffix. Okay, interesting. Shulchan Aruch now says differently. Shulchan Aruch writes that a person, when it's under the size of a white bean, a person should say an adama. But once it reaches the size of a white bean, one should say ha'etz. And he says, since we don't know what the halacha is, so he says, li'olam mivarech bori pri adama ad shi gadol biyoser. So as opposed to the Bach says, you should never, ever say ha'etz, because we don't know the Matzias. The Beis Yosef is a little bit more lenient. He says, really the default should be an adama. But if you see that grape is so large, again, I don't know what large means, but if it's gadol biyoser, then even the Shulchan Aruch agrees that you can say ha'etz. So again, Bach says never say it. Shulchan Aruch was a little bit less limited. He says that you can if it's big enough. We don't know what big enough means, but he still says we don't know, which is fascinating. Could you imagine that? Ever saying an adama on a grape? That any grape that we get through the markets, from the supermarkets, you imagine saying ha'adama? So I remember when I read this, and Rabbi Forrest has this in his book. Read this a number of years, it must be 5-6 years ago, I was reading through this. And he writes, like the Shulchan Aruch says, a person really should say adama on grapes. And I didn't understand what was going on. I didn't learn this sugya at the time. So I had called one of my rebbeim up. He says, no, that's not true at all. Rabbi Forrest was just, he was basically translating the words of the Shulchan Aruch. And it was a long footnote he had there. And he was really putting out the point that, but he never explained it, but I think he meant this, that nowadays, every single grape we get will be considered gadol b'yoser. It will be considered big enough. But the concept he was mentioning in the book got me really nervous. So how could that be possible to say an adama on every grape? But that's what the Shulchan Aruch writes, say an adama on all grapes unless you know it's big enough. So how do you know it's big enough? What's the indicator that it's big enough? So Mishnah Berurah writes that he points out another concern here is when a person says an adama on grapes. Let's just say we don't know what's considered a big enough size. So you take the safe route and you say an adama. So he says there's going to be a concern now. What bracha don't have a large enough shear, don't have a kazayas? Why don't have a kazayas? Because let's say I have a kazayas. What bracha achrona do I say? In terms of bracha rishona, it's an adama or an etz. Adama is more expansive, so I say the adama. But now, what bracha achrona? Is it going to be a main shalosh bracha, al hagafen al pri hagafen, or will it be a bari nefashos? If the grapes are underdeveloped and would only be an adama, so then the resulting bracha achrona would be a bari nefashos. But if they're really grapes and develop grapes and should require ha'etz in the beginning, then the bracha achrona should be me'ein shalosh. It's very different brachas. And as you pointed out, this is during the week, a learning, that a bari nefashos cannot cover something that requires a me'ein shalosh. And a me'ein shalosh can't cover something that requires a bari nefashos. They're two mutually exclusive brachas. So then you're stuck what bracha achrona to say. So if you're going to have grapes, so have less than a kazayas. So not only do you say an adama on grapes, but you have to have a very small amount of grapes. Unless you want to take your approach of have some pomegranates and have some apples or any other bracha and say ha'etz on the pomegranates and bori nefashos on the apples, and you're covering your bases on the other end as well.
No, but grapes is different than pomegranates. Has special bracha achrona.
Right, so that bracha achrona of pomegranates will be ha'etz val pri ha'etz.
Oh, it's the same.
And that will cover the possible grape bracha achrona, and then you have apples or any other shakel bracha, or a different shako, and have bori nefashos at the end, that will cover the possibility that grapes might be a bore nefashos in this case. Either way, this is causing us a lot of problems right now of having underdeveloped grapes or not knowing the size of what grapes should be.
What's the story with a grape requiring a serious bracha achrona based on the fact that it's a full creation?
So that's a very good. That's a different topic. Exactly. So another concern is that when it comes to birya, the Gemara discusses that birya, its own creation, if it's an own entity, so even though it might be less than a kazayas, that itself might require bracha achrona. Very good. So which case means you have to have half grapes, cut them in half, only half a grape at a time, and the aggregate has to be less than a kazayas, so it makes eating grapes not very fun.
Yeah, but is the development a factor when you're talking about a full grape? Does it talk about developed?
I don't remember coming across it. It could be. I don't remember that. But I think a full entity in its own right warrants a bracha.
Developed or not?
I'm not sure. Good question. I don't know.
What did the Shulchan Aruch say about?
He didn't mention the bracha achrona. He did not mention it. So the Mishnah Berurah raised that as another concern of the bracha achrona. So we have a lot of problems eating grapes. We don't know what the size is, whether it's developed. Do you say an adama or ha'etz? So adama is the safest route. Fine, say the adama. But now the Mishnah Berurah points out, and in the end of the day, bracha achrona is going to cause another issue because we don't know which bracha achrona to say. In which case, you should always have less than a kazayas. And then you're pointing out yet another problem. Don't have a birya. You can't have an entire grape, possibly, because then that certainly will require bracha, but we don't know which bracha it's going to require. So you have to have less than a kazayas, and you can't have any full grape at one time. So a lot of problems when it comes to grapes. Okay, so the Mishnah Berurah gives us a little bit of an etzah, how to know whether a grape is considered developed enough. And he gives two different simanim.
You have to discard the other half of the grape and have it tomorrow?
Right.
No. People today, I hear, they break them in half and they eat them separately, right. So that it's not considered eating the whole thing.
Exactly, once you break them up.
Once you can have the second one
right away.
Yeah.
A minute later.
Yeah. It's not considered birya when it's cut in half. I think we'll get to that maybe. I think it comes up. Okay, so Mishnah Berurah gives us two indicators how to know whether or not the grape has reached its size of maturity or not. One is, he says, if you look at it, simply look at the grape, and if you're able to tell, if you're experienced, regardless of the size of the grape, that would be one indicator knowing that it's considered developed. Again, you have to be an expert to know, looking at a grape, whether it's considered developed. We'll see in a second how that plays out to us. And the second indicator, he writes, if you could see the seeds from the outside of the pits, if somehow you could see the pits, now I don't know if that's always so visible, when it comes possibly to the green grapes, where they're a little bit more transparent, so then you could see through maybe the pits, if they do have pits. Many of them don't have pits. So I'm not sure how that plays out, but if you could see the pit from the outside, that seems to be an indicator. Now, Lemaisa for us, what they point out is every grape that you're going to get into through the supermarkets, they've gone through so many different levels of checking them out to make sure that they're fully developed. I don't think you'll ever come across a grape nowadays, at least to the supermarket, that will be considered underdeveloped, regardless of the size. We said the other day that there are many types of grapes, many species of grapes, hundreds if not thousands of types of grapes, and they're all different sizes. Champagne grapes, I don't know if those are the smallest types of grapes. There might even be smaller grapes. They're very, very small. I imagine they're smaller than what's known as a pul halavan, smaller than the white bean. But whatever it is, each species in its own right has its own size and stage at which point it's developed. So any grape that you're going to Lemaisa get from the supermarket will be considered developed and will be ha'etz.
I did do a winery tour in Eretz Yisrael.
Okay.
All sorts of halachic issues, but if you're picking them off the vine, if you find yourself in that situation, you still have to know this.
Right. You have to know in terms of, exactly, right from the vine, you have to know if they're developed or not.
There, you have to know what's developed, what's not developed.
Exactly.
Aside from other issues.
Right. That's true. So they could probably tell you whether they're considered edible or not, or developed or not.
Sometimes, you know, I've seen clusters of grapes, and there may be one or two little duds on there, like immature grapes.
Right.
So you then have to say a separate.
That's an interesting question. I mean, you have like one, let's say you're buying the red grapes, and sometimes you find one that's green that's clearly less developed than the other ones. I've seen that also. Would that require a separate bracha? Or once you say the eights on the other brachas, is that going to cover that, what you call the dud? I don't know.
Does an eight cover adama?
No, a eight normally does not cover adama.
But in this case, you're making adama
on the grapes.
Yeah.
So, right, so if I say I ate, let's say, on a tomato, that won't work. That will not work. But I'm saying ate on grapes, and that certainly that bracha will be chal on the developed grapes. Will that also be chal on the dud that's there? It's a good question. I don't know. But possibly. But also, you can't be machmir since you don't know. So the eitz may have covered. You don't know if it's developed or not. You have no idea if it requires
the
adama. Exactly, because it'd be bracha latolah. Exactly. So the eitz would be then to say adama on something else and have it cover that one just in case. I don't know. Okay. Now that's all according to Shitas Tosos and Rush, who use the model of shvius for brachos. Whatever size is needed for Shemitah is the same halacha, same model being used for the brachos. Comes along the Gra, and the Gra, a few places, Gra many times, but in Hilchos Brachos, right in the beginning of Simon Reish Beis, which is the first halacha, first Simon in Hilchos Brachos in Shulchan Aruch, he a number of times argues on Shulchan Aruch. We know the Gra had that strength, even though he was much later than the Rishonim. He was able to argue on the Rishonim, and he argued completely on the Shulchan Aruch, on the Tosos, on the Rush. He says something that no other Parish says, exactly, that we're not supposed to be using the model of Shemitah for Brachos. That's completely incorrect. Rather, we're supposed to be using the model of Meiser. When it comes to Meiser, the fruits, in this case grapes, have to develop to a certain point where they are edible. So when I'm in my farm taking out my grapes, taking out my wheat, those fruits, those grains have to be developed enough for me to be chayv a Meiser. If the grapes are underdeveloped, they're so tiny, then I have no chiyuv a Meiser yet. And that's the model that should be used. And apparently, that this is a much later stage than what the Gemara and Shemitah is talking about. A much further developed stage where they're more edible. That's the siman you should be using for saying brachas on grapes and any other fruits as well.
Can you take Meiser only on edible things?
Yeah, that's what he's saying. The only point you have to take Meiser is once they've reached a certain stage in development. Before that point, they're not considered edible enough and you don't have a chiyuv Meiser. So I'm wondering, I guess if you ate those fruit, so you wouldn't have to take Meiser on them, but at the same time you wouldn't say Ha'etz. So if I go to my vine, and they're clearly underdeveloped, so I could eat them without having to take Meiser, and I would also only say Nadama though. But once they reach the point of development, it requires Ha'etz, I would first have to take Chuma Meiser before I actually eat it. So that's the model that the Gra says one should use. So it comes along the Ber Halacha, the Mishnah Berurah writes in his Ber Halacha, that the halacha should be, we should lemaisa paskin like the Gra. The Gra seems to be more correct. If you want to know the size for each fruit, look at the Rambam. He has a whole list of different applications, different fruits and different sizes. Look there. That should be the psak.
For when things are developed enough for maisa.
Exactly. And that should be the model like the Gra. But nonetheless, he says, the Shulchan Aruch says what the Shulchan Aruch says. He uses the model Shemitah. So those who rely on the Shulchan Aruch, they have what to rely on as well.
Everybody agrees that it's on develop, but they question on what develop means, whether it's based on Shavuos develop or Meiser develop.
Exactly. So using the Gra now will make us, give us a little bit more problems now, because that's a later stage than Puhalavon. I forget what stage it is. But again, the Meiser, in the end of the day, any fruit that you're going to be getting through the supermarket, I imagine will be qualified as a developed grape, even according to the standards of the Gra, unless you're going through the These wine factories.
People who go to farmers markets and things like that.
Uh-huh. They're more fresh from the.
Omeglot is not going to sell anything.
Right.
Than everybody, but if you're going closer to the source you get, it might be more.
Right, it's true. But usually we went once blueberry picking and apple picking, right. So they're going to only let you pick when it's in season.
Right.
So it's in season, so I'm sure there were certainly some blueberries and apples. We got there actually, late that day. It was a Chol HaMoed actually. There's a shaila whether you could collect fruit on Chol HaMoed. You're not allowed to do that. It's a melacha. But if you're going to be using those fruit on Chol HaMoed to cook with, then you're allowed to. So we came after we came to the end of the day. So the Jews who came before us on that day left nothing for us. So they wiped out the place. So there are a couple of apples that were left on the tree, but I don't know if any of them were really edible at that point. So I don't know. But we got to the blueberry place that was full of blueberries, and most of them, some of them were like squash, but for the most part, they were pretty developed, and I imagine that they were considered ha'etz. So it's only going to be in season, but again, it doesn't go through that process of sifting out the bad ones. It's always going to be duds along the way, so you have to be able to ascertain whether it requires ha'etz or it doesn't. Now, the Shari Tshuva points out a very interesting point here to keep in mind. Again, it's not so halach l'maisa, but if a person were to have these underdeveloped grapes and squeeze them out, so normally the halacha is, we saw this when we spoke about...
Now we have to worry about the juice.
Right, exactly, the juice. So we saw the Gemara Bava Basra when we learned the halachas of what bracha to say on wine and grape juice. So the Gemara Bava Basra tells us that if a person takes fresh grapes, he squeezes them, that's grape juice, and you would say hagafen. If you can drink, let's say I'm eating a grape juice, I'm eating grapes rather, and on my plate I have grape juice now. I want to pour it into a cup, and then I drink it straight, I would say hagafen on that, those grapes. I never did it, but that would be hagafen of grape juice. Rosh Hashanah likes to say, if a person that's a traveling, Erev Shabbos, he gets stuck along the way. So he goes over, he has to stop at the closest hotel, and that's where Shabbos is going to be spent. And you go to the local supermarket, buy the grapes, squeeze them before Shabbos, and that's going to be your grape juice for Shabbos. You can't squeeze them on Shabbos, it's a derisa of dash, schita, but Erev Shabbos you could squeeze it, and that's your grape juice. So what's halach? If I go to this random place, I go to one of these markets that haven't gone through these processes of getting the best types of grapes. I don't know if they're developed or not. So I squeeze out the grapes, and I want to use this for grape juice. Do I say hagafen? I don't know if the grapes themselves were developed. So the Shari Tshuva says, if you're squeezing out underdeveloped grapes, it would only be a shahakal. There's this correlation. If the grapes are ha'etz, then the grape juice hagafen. If the grapes are ha'dama, then the grape juice is only ma'im ba'alma, and it would only be a shahakal. He says there would be another nafkamina, that would there be an isser of stam yenam? If a guy were to touch grape juice or wine, that becomes a problem of stam yenam. It's usher for me to drink it. But if they were to touch this juice that comes from the underdeveloped grapes, that would be ma'im ba'alma and would not be usher for a guy to touch. They wouldn't use this for their avodah zara. So that's what comes out. That's the discussion of grapes. Again, so lamaisa. Again, any grapes that you're going to be buying in the supermarkets will be ha'etz, and most likely even those that you're going to be picking from the vineyards, you're also going to only let you in when it's of season probably. So most likely they're all going to be ha'etz, but if you see one that looks a little bit underdeveloped, you could certainly hold back from eating it.
But it doesn't come to prove anything. It's just a side point. Oh, by the way, there's going to be another result of this. Not shedding any light on our...
Correct, exactly. This idea of having grapes underdeveloped have a number of nafkamina. One is what bracha rishona to say, what bracha achrona to say, how it reflects itself in terms of the grape juice that comes from it, and whether goyim that touch them will make it aser. So those are the few nafkaminas of underdeveloped grapes. Okay. Now it comes to, let's say, shar ilanos. So we saw that the Gemara Paskin, when it came to Shemitah, that only those three fruits, which were grapes, carobs, and olives, had their own unique stage of what point you say ha'etz, or rather what point it's chayv in Shemitah. And says the Rosh, the same thing, we Paskin, when it comes to other fruits for Hilchos Brachos, the moment they begin to grow, I don't care what size they are, the apple begins to grow on the tree, that's already chayv in ha'etz. And that's how the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that the moment that any size, so you go to any supermarket, whatever size, whatever development, sometimes it comes to avocados, let's say. Avocados aren't always going to be ripe just yet. If they're very, very green, they're not going to be ripe. But still, one would say ha'etz on the avocados, even though they're not as ripe as you would like them. Or any other fruit that might take time for it to develop. Or mangoes. Mangoes aren't always ripe right away. A lot of melons aren't ripe right away. But still, any size, even if they're tiny, much tinier than you'll see them in the supermarket, the psak is, you would say ha'etz, unless they're super bitter, then you would not say bracha because they're considered inedible. But as long as they are somewhat edible, even though they're not as juicy, sweet as you would like them to be, the lach is that at any size you would say ha'etz, and that's how we paskim. Now let's get to the discussion of charuvim v'zesim. Charuvim v'zesim, carobs and olives, were the other two exceptions that the Mishnah Shvi has pointed out. Okay, so the Torah firstly paskins like this Mishnah Shvi'is, that when it comes to charuvim, you have to have that chain design on the side of the carobs. And when it comes to the olives, you need that Mishia Nutsu. What was that Yanutsu where this nates grows on the, how do they say this in English, anyone know? What that nates was that grew on the Zayas? There was some, how do they define this? Where is that, Rashi? There's something that grew around the olive. I don't know exactly how olives grow. I've seen olive trees, but I never really looked at the olives. Something grows around the olive, which makes it developed. So the tour, the son of the rush, the tour paskin, that those are the simanim you have to look at to know that they've developed. That the olive has this nate that grows around it, and that the charev needs that sharsharis, that little chain that grows around it. So Beis Yosef is wondering why the Rishonim don't mention this, though. The Torah paskins this way, but he finds that the many Rishonim do not do not bring this lahalacha of the charuvim and the zesim. He wonders why, and he answers, Li nira, says the Beis Yosef, it appears to me, de'ein lilmod mi din shvius lezesim v'charuvim, afilu achar shishar shirub marim heim v'ein ruin l'achila. Says the Beis Yosef, he rejects this model now. The model of Shemitah is being rejected, at least with respect to olives and carobs. He still is embracing it when it comes to grapes. He's taking a middle approach, that we're using the model of Shemitah when it comes to grapes. But you can't use that model when it comes to carobs, when it comes to olives, because apparently at that stage, they're still very, very bitter. So he's taking a middle approach. Shemitah is used partially as the model, but not entirely. So when it comes to grapes, you need the shear of the pu'al lavan. And when it comes to other fruits, whenever mishiyotziu, we're using those two types, those two groups from Shemitah. When it comes to olives and carobs, you cannot use the model Shemitah because they're still bitter. So for technicality, he throws out the model Shemitah, at least with respect to carobs and olives. That's what the Beis Yosef writes. But the Drisha argues, and he says, if you look at the Rush does not say this. The Rush says we still do embrace this model of Shemitah, using the model Shemitah even for carobs and for olives. So what's interesting is, the Shulchan Aruch, who of course is the Beis Yosef, when he writes the Halacha, he only says that grapes have to be, the model for grapes is the Pul Halavan. But he does not mention at all carobs and olives, because he's going according to what he writes in the Beis Yosef, that we do not use the model of Shemitah for carobs and when it comes to olives. But the Rama argues, Rama says no. The Paskin, the Rush Paskin, Tosas Paskin, that we do use the model of Shemitah, and even when it comes to carobs, and even when it comes to olives, we still do use that model. So it's a machlokes, Shulchan Aruch and Rama, whether or not we're using Shemitah as the model or not. So Lamaisa Hari Paskin, so the Magid of Ram Paskin is that because it's a Suffolk, when it comes to olives and when it comes to carobs, one should say Nadama. So I don't know if anybody really eats carobs. I remember growing up, they used to give us these Buxer, and it was inedible, so I don't know, you can't
Why
eat it.
Why did they give it to you?
Too much fresh.
You get it fresh energy from.
Yeah, you can.
It's a little more edible.
Is it good?
It has flavor.
A little flavor. Okay, fine. Yeah. I never had one. So
I appreciate it more as an adult than I did as a kid.
Okay, you just throw them against the wall. I remember it. I don't know why they gave it. I don't know. They were cheap, probably.
Because it was dried fruit from
Eretz Yisrael. They're dry. That's what they dry them out. I thought that's how they grew. I thought that's how they grew. They just grew as a piece of bark.
They're not as tough as those were.
Okay.
You probably saw them in the stores here.
Okay, I don't think I ever touched them because of my experiences as a little kid. So Magid Rebbe writes, since we don't know what's considered developed carob or not, one should be safe and say the Adama. And the same thing with olives. Since we don't know whether or not it's considered developed or not, a person should say an Adama. But again, I would add, any olives that we get in the store, in the jars, however you buy them, I personally don't eat olives, but those who do, they're going to be considered developed enough and te'aitz. If you're walking through the olive trees and you find some on the tree, so then you should ascertain whether or not they're considered a adama or ha'it, developed or not.
From his logic before, if the olive wasn't at the right, was a carob, then you would go from ha'it to the other. But an apple just growing, he would say, but it may not be edible, so why wouldn't you say...
Yeah, so the Shulchan Aruch said already that you say ha'et on all other fruits unless it's inedible.
But if you ate it, meaning that immature apple or immature pear, and people, you know, why would you then still say ha'et if it's really not the true form? Wouldn't you say ha'dama?
No, again, if it's edible, you say ha'et.
But it doesn't taste the same as that.
No, that's fine. That's still edible. If I have a avocado or mango that's not as ripe as I want it, it's still edible. It might not be as sweet. It might be a little bit bland, but it's not inedible. It's edible still. Inedible would mean something that's really, really bitter, and I just can't stand the taste of it. If it's something that's bland, that's not inedible.
But the olive may be edible. We just said it was immature, and we just defined when we would say how.
Correct. We're talking about maturity or not. So even when something is mature, you could have a case where it's inedible.
Right.
That's going to end up. So that's right. So that's what we're saying. So if it's mature, that's question one. Did it mature enough, or did it not mature enough? Now, even if it did mature enough, there's some cases where it's inedible, and that's going to be the technicality. Right. I'm not saying the proper bracha or any bracha at all.
Could we go back to the opinion for a second that says you go by shvius except for the exception of
carob and olives? Is that what we
said? Yeah. So,
does he go over to mycin? Does he go over to something else?
So very good. So he doesn't explain what to do.
Yeah.
So I would imagine he would view. He doesn't tell us. It's to us. The grower is the first one to be mechadish that mycer is the model for fruits.
Okay.
So in the world of Shulchan Aruch right now, it seems like that wasn't even an option. So I don't know what option he used. He doesn't tell us what to use. But Mishiyotziyu would be less than the case in the moment it grows. Mishiyotziyu is before the stage. But it's before the stage of Shianutsu. Shianutsu is not a hayit, so certainly Mishiyotziyu. So I don't know. He didn't tell us what. Good question. I don't know what stage to get according to the Shulchan Aruch. He doesn't tell us. But for us, so I guess you would imagine, the Ramah says we should use those simanim of the Shianitzu and then the Mishiyah Sheres. Lamaisa, a person should really wait until they're developed to one's liking. Okay. Fine. So let's just, one last point here, and that's as follows. We'll try to bring this back to the one of the first shiurim that we did. What is the basis of this machlokas, whether you're going to use Meiser as the model or you're going to use Shemitah as the model? Where did this come from? It seemed like from Tosfos. I'm not trying to belittle. I'm just when the Gemara brings in a Mishnah Shemitah here in Maseches Brachos, which has nothing to do with Brachos at all. It's almost convenient. Well, it's in Maseches Brachos. Let's use this as the model of Brachos. Now that's not where it's coming from, but that's how it makes sense. Oh, the Mishnah Shviyas is here in Brachos. We're talking about Hilchos Brachos, so let's just use the model of Shemitah. Why would one use the model of Hilchos Shemitah for Brachos as opposed to the model of Hilchos Meiser for Brachos? Why would one choose Meiser versus Shemitah? I think it's a fair question you have to ask. What's the lumness behind that?
It's going to be the common word fruit. No? Well, if it's known as a fruit, so that's when we'd make the bracha, when it's known as a fruit. Isn't that how we got there?
Yeah, but why are you using Meiser versus Shemitah? Or Shemitah versus...
It's known as a food.
A food, okay. Okay.
Because it's defined as something you eat.
No. With the Shemitah, it's a fruit. You can't cut down your fruit trees. It doesn't say anything about edible or not. It says fruit. No? That's in Shemitah.
Well, the Pasuk says...
Cut down fruit trees.
Right. So
when is it considered a fruit tree? Is that how we got there?
Well, so it's a very, very good point you're making, that the Rashi told us the pasuk for how do you know you can't cut down fruit trees? Because it says la'achla have to shemitah fruits are to be eaten, velo have said you can't destroy them. So, but also when it comes to meiser, I'm only chayv meiser once the peiros have developed.
I don't know the laws of meiser. That's what I was trying to ask you before.
Right.
And maybe you have to take meiser on other things other than fruits.
Right.
Any gross, any produce, it could be anything. So it doesn't have to be a fruit in Meiser, no?
So no, Meiser has to be fruit. We're Midirabanan, we say all vegetables as well.
See? Oh, it's
Midirabanan. But Midiraisa, Machlokas.
It's only fruit.
Yeah. Midiraisa, some Rishonim say only the Gancha, Tiroshcha, Yitzarcha, which means the Gancha are the five grains, Tiroshcha is wine, Yitzarcha is olives. Those three are Chai Midiraisa according to all Rishonim. Rashi Ramam argue, what about other fruits? Are other fruits also Midiraisa, or other fruits are only Midirabanan?
When you say fruits, could be vegetables.
No, and then vegetables, everybody agrees vegetables are only Midirabanan. So everyone agrees the first three are Diraisa, vegetables are Dirabanan, and then all other fruits, the Machlokas, whether it's Diraisa, whether it's Dirabanan. So what I'll suggest, unless you have another suggestion, when it comes to the model of Meiser, it's a much later, I'm not sure much, but it's a later stage than that of Shvius. So if we go back to the machlokas we had initially, what was the debate, the nature of...
What do you mean by it's a later phrase, what?
Later stage. I mean, Shemitah, exactly, later, Shemitah, Mishiyotziyu, the moment, forget grapes, olives, and carrots right now. All other fruits, there are thousands of other fruits in the world. The moment it begins to grow, that's considered the issue of Shemitah.
Go ahead.
When it comes to Meiser, it's not Chai Meiser until a much later stage of development. I don't know what stage that is.
Bringing it back into the house.
Exactly. So very, very good. Ignore that right now. Ignore the size. Pay attention to the size of the grape. I don't know what size, but whatever size it's needed, it's a much later stage than Mishiyotziyu.
Okay.
Shemitah, Isser kicks in the moment it grows.
Okay.
And Meiser until months later where it's a nice size fruit, let's say. Okay. So the halacha is, so now, that being the case, if you remember back to the initial machlokas we had, what was the nature of Birchas Hanenen? We had a machlokas, what was the nature of Birchas Hanenen? Pasuk Asvara, which connected to that was the source, but connected to the Svara, what was the nature? How do I categorize the bracha? It's a matir, permitting the Isser, Or was it a Bechashach Voda? So I think that when it comes to Shemitah, begins to grow, that already warrants a certain thanks and praise. Now, although it's not mutter to me, meaning it's not edible for me, it's not enjoyable, there's no real heter that I need yet. Remember, the matir is to allow me to eat Hashem's food. It's Hashem's food. Now, I'm not interested in eating an apple when it begins to grow the size of a white bean, if you will. It's not edible. It's not good. It's not attractive to me. So why would I need a matir? That's not, there's no heter. There's no, nothing enjoyable to me to be allowed to eat. But at that point, when I start seeing my apple tree grow some apples, that's going to, again, engender some level of shevach hodah for my part. So if you think the bracha is about shevach hodah, so any size, the moment the fruit begin to grow, that's going to warrant a shevach vodah. But if it's about a matir, about allowing me to get hanah, I don't really get much hanah from the Shemitah model. I only get hanah if I'm using the Maaser model, when the fruit has developed much further stage, where it's a nice, juicy fruit. That's where I get the real hanah, and that's when the bracha kicks in of being a matir. Again, it's a suggestion. I haven't seen it anywhere, so but maybe it connects nicely. I'm sure you could certainly reject it, but just some, no pun intended, food for thought. And we'll end here. Okay.